Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ken Rudin.
And I'm Don Gagne, filling in for Ron Elving. Ken, I actually saw Ron Elving in shorts this week.
In shorts?
He was walking down Connecticut Avenue, and there it is.
Don, since we announced that you would be the substitute this week, there's been a prisoner of freedom in Colombia, a McCain campaign shakeup, more money for the Obama campaign. You have made a difference, even though your career is going downhill, but you have made a difference in this world.
This is the end right here. So what do you make of this happening in Colombia just as John McCain happens to be there?
Wait a second. I thought I was the host. I thought I was asking
I'm
the question.
Sorry.
I thought
sorry.
I was Don. I thought it was Ron Elving this week. No, but that's a good question. I mean, here is some controversy about what John McCain was doing in Colombia. Forget about the freeing of the political prisoners. That was pretty remarkable. But here it is. John McCain locked up the Republican nomination since early March. Barack Obama was fighting tooth and nail with Hillary Clinton for the nomination until mid-June, early June. And yet John McCain seems to be still searching for a message. And obviously, something big happened in the McCain camp this week.
A shakeup. Stephen Schmidt, we know him from the Bush campaign, Bush 04. We know him from the Arnold Schwarzenegger gubernatorial reelection campaign, has been a top advisor and campaign strategist for the McCain campaign. As of this week, he is now running the show over there. He's not raising the money. He's not doing that stuff. But in terms of the political message and what John McCain is out there doing day to day, it's this 37-year-old Steve Schmidt.
So basically, it's fair to say that the Schmidt has hit the fan in the McCain campaign.
We'll see, I guess.
We will see. But, you know, a year ago at this time, it was also another McCain campaign shakeup. Terry Nelson, the campaign manager, John Weaver, a longtime aide, was pushed out. And they brought in Rick Davis, campaign manager, who instituted this like they would have like 11 regional campaign managers around the country. It wasn't working.
Davis is also a money guy. He's more of an organizational guy than he is a political guy. But a year ago, I mean, we have to give Davis some credit. He was just what the McCain campaign needed then. That campaign was on life support.
Right.
None of us thought he was going to reemerge and win the New Hampshire primary and go on to the nomination.
Oh, Ron Elving was betting on Tom Tancredo. No, obviously a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, and so Davis was clearly the right guy then, and just as clearly, according to the candidate and a lot of Republicans around the country who've been watching this campaign, not the right guy now. So Steve Schmidt, more of a hands-on nuts and bolts political brawler, is going to be taking over, and it's going to feel like a different campaign.
Well, maybe it should feel like a different campaign, because we talked about the message and the confusing message coming out of the McCain campaign, and here he is this week on Independence Day week, when you celebrate the United States of America, one would think, and yet here he is in Colombia and Mexico talking about, you know, free trade, talking about drug wars and things like that. But as one Democrat may have said, you know, how does this help lower the price of gas or relate to people who are hurting in the Midwest?
Maybe one thing he was doing there was sending a message to a very important voting bloc back here in the United States. Colombians, well, Latino voters, some of whom may come from Colombia, that he does think about Latin America, and he knows that this is an important part of the world and that these relationships are important. Now,
and foreign policy is reputed to be the strength of the McCain campaign, certainly in contrast to the so-called inexperienced Barack Obama.
And it gives him a chance to just kind of dig at Senator Obama for his opposition to the Colombia Free Trade Agreement that has stalled in Congress. Again, more symbolism there. It's not like that trade pact is going to have a huge impact on the American economy, but it was a chance for him to highlight those kinds of differences. But it's a long way to go during 4th of July week.
You can make the case that rather than being in Bogota, Colombia, should be in Bogota, New Jersey, spelled the same way but pronounced differently.
Yes,
but,
okay.
I just thought of that as we were talking right now. But meanwhile, we're also talking about foreign trips may be far more important to Barack Obama, who is on the cusp of announcing his own foreign policy excursion.
The campaign has announced that he is going to make a trip. We don't have the dates. We expect it to be later this month. He's going to go to the Middle East. He's going to go to Israel and Jordan. Then he's going to meet with those three important European allies. He's going to Germany. He is going to France, and he is going to Britain. And it is a chance, an opportunity for Obama to be seen on the world stage, to be having substantive discussions with these leaders, perhaps delivering a speech here and there. We don't know how that's going to play out. But it directly answers the criticism that he, as a relative newcomer to the Senate, has not nearly enough foreign policy experience or stature to be president.
Well, you remember the old line against Clinton and Gore, that Republicans said the only foreign policy experience they had is when they had breakfast at the International House of Pancakes. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the same thing with Barack Obama, but McCain and the McCain campaign has been goading Obama in the fact that he has not been to Iraq since 2006, January of 2006, and now there's some talk, of course, of an Iraq, Afghanistan.
Right, and the campaign does say that he plans on going there sometime this summer before the convention. A lot of us think it'll be piggybacked onto this other trip to the Middle East. It's a quick jaunt from Jordan, but we don't know that for sure. But the campaign has talked about trips there as well. It has been, well, according to this GOP.com ticker that they have on their webpage, it's been like 906 or 7 days since Obama has visited Iraq in January of 2006. So John McCain has been trying to make hay of that. And Obama will get there eventually. The interesting thing will be to see where he goes. Does he stay inside the green zone? Does he get out to some of the far-flung bases? How much time does he spend talking to soldiers as opposed to generals? Who will he meet on the ground beyond kind of the official delegation?
It's fair to say, though, that if nothing else, this is an indication that the Obama campaign is not going to cede foreign policy as an issue to the McCain campaign.
The thing that is so unusual here, though, is that both Senator McCain and Obama, just months now before the election, are making trips to foreign soil. No presidential candidate going back at least to 1984 has done this, unless they were a sitting president and going over there for a summit or
Nixon
whatever.
To China.
Or Nixon to China.
No, I mean, that was remarkable.
Yes.
And actually, that happened, if memory serves, that was going on during the New Hampshire primary in 1972. While people were focusing on Muskie versus McGovern, Richard Nixon was being the statesman going to China and opening up, changing the whole world there.
Yes, again, as a sitting president, and other sitting presidents, Clinton and H.W. Bush have made trips overseas, obviously, because there are so many trips they make every year for regularly scheduled summits and all of that. But the notion that these candidates, when they really do need to be working these battleground states and looking for votes here, and in some cases, you know, raising money here to take this time to go overseas is really unprecedented.
We talked about the kind of inexperience that Barack Obama has, the kind of ways he's trying to establish himself on the international stage, along with John McCain. And he also gave a very interesting speech on patriotism earlier this week. And what I thought was most interesting, it came, the coverage of it was usurped by comments that Wesley Clark made last week on CBS's Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer about John McCain's military record.
Wesley Clark essentially said being shot down doesn't necessarily qualify you to be president.
And in fairness, it was actually a response to what Bob Schieffer said. He said he was talking about, well, Barack Obama never flew a fighter plane and was never shot down. And Wesley Clark said, well, that's not a qualification to be president. That is true. And I think John McCain has never said that that's why I'm qualified to be president. But if anything was shot down, I think it's Wesley Clark's chances for vice president, because I suspect that the distraction, whether what he said was made sense or not, and I suspect it did make sense.
It's an arguable point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But is it something you want to say as Barack Obama is trying to give a different kind of speech? And I suspect at a time when Wesley Clark was probably trying to do his VP tryout.
And the Obama campaign immediately denounced, condemned, whatever word you want to use.
Well, what do they say? Threw him under the bus?
They threw him under the
along
bus.
With his grandma, along with his white grandmother, right.
I don't think I've seen Barack Obama give a speech, and I've seen a lot of them since he became the presumptive nominee, where he doesn't say, I respect John McCain. I respect his service to this country. I respect his experience in the military. But
it's
always about McCain's policies today. And that is where he makes the link between what John McCain is proposing and what the policies of the present administration, the Bush administration, have been. But he is so careful to, before he starts any criticism of McCain, to praise what he has sacrificed and what he has given to this country. And
which makes complete sense. Yes. I mean, John McCain has a riveting personal history. Yes. Whether it qualifies him to be president is one thing, but it's still an amazing story.
And Obama means it. He does mean it. And for have someone who is a supporter of yours, a high-profile surrogate, say what Wesley Clark said, again, even if it is arguably, true, it's a distraction that takes away from the other discussion.
And if the fact is that Wesley Clark kept coming back to more and more TV interviews over and over and over again, it was not a story. It was a story that didn't go away, and not so much because of the Republicans or the media, but Wesley Clark was just appearing everywhere.
He felt the need to explain himself, and in explaining himself further, he dug the hole deeper. Another speech Senator Obama gave this week was on the topic of faith.
Yes.
He's glad to be talking about faith without it being about Reverend Jeremiah Wright. He delivered this speech, and he actually praised the faith-based initiative that was created and started right at the beginning of the George W. Bush presidency.
Now, there are a lot of people who have long criticized President Bush's for apparently, or the charge being that he bridged this separation between church and state. And yet, Obama seems to be getting away with it. I'm not saying this duplicitously, but I think when you think of Southern Democrats like Jimmy Carter, like Bill Clinton, they spoke about faith openly. When it was more secular politicians like Howard Dean or John Kerry or Michael Dukakis, you almost winced when they talked about God and faith because you think that, well, it was some calculation there. But you get the sense that with Barack Obama, there is no calculation.
And when George W. Bush proposes a faith-based initiative, because the Christian right have played such a huge role in helping him to get elected, it suddenly feels like they are driving this agenda and that this is payback to them. And when Barack Obama talks about the same kind of a program, well, there's nobody who thinks Christian conservatives are driving the Barack Obama candidacy.
Not with his views on abortion. That will never win them over, I suspect.
And perhaps he can get away with promoting these kinds of links between, Catholic social services and these other faith-based service organizations and federal funding without the kind of criticism that George Bush attracted.
If memory serves, in the 2004 exit polls, it was something like the evangelical vote was 78-21% Bush over Kerry. Now, right now, the polls show something like 68-21 McCain over Obama. Still a sizable lead, a 3-1 lead for McCain. But again, anything less than George W. Bush got has to be bad news for John McCain because obviously McCain had a lot of problems with his own base. The evangelical conservatives who were enamored of Bush in 2000, 2004 clearly do not feel the same about McCain in 2008. And that's kind of the little tightrope that McCain is walking. Do you reach out for the right? Remember the famous quote in 2000 when he called Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell agents of intolerance. But of course, he's tried to mend those fences for 2008. At the same time, he has to go after the people that Joe Lieberman represents, the centrists, the people who, the more independent-minded voters, the kind of people he's appealed to in his two victories in New Hampshire.
Now, the Democrats have been talking about this for a long time, and there's an ad that's been showing up on the internet, and it'll be on some radio outlets that speaks to this. Now, give a listen. This is not an official Obama campaign ad.
With all these stones being cast at Senator Obama, it can be hard to know what to believe. But in Luke, Jesus taught us that we must listen to what a man says, because out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So here are words from Senator Obama's heart.
I think we make a mistake when we fail to acknowledge the power of faith in people's lives.
If we look at evangelical voters, religious voters, as a bloc for a moment, again, Senator Obama doesn't need to win here. But if he
makes inroads, exactly,
if he cuts down the margin, then again, if there are as many states that are as close as we think these battleground states might be, it could be a tipping point.
2004, perfect example. Evangelicals comprise nationally 23% of the vote. The evangelical get out the vote effort in Ohio, where McCain recently met with evangelical leaders, was so effective. Basically, it was Ohio that reelected George Bush in 2004, and it was the evangelicals who gave him the margin that went over the top. Just, Don, now that we've declared that Wesley Clark is not going to be the Democratic vice president, do you have a new favorite of the week? Because, I keep switching back and forth every time.
I'm still kind of a Ted Strickland guy.
Even though he says absolutely not.
Yeah. And the fact that that's still my gut means it's not going to be him.
My new favorite for the Democratic, I mean, I switch all the time. My new is, believe it or not, John Edwards. John Edwards, who was not going to make any difference in the South in 2004 because John Kerry was not going to make any inroads in the South. But with Obama seemingly able to make inroads in states like Virginia, North Carolina, perhaps even Georgia with large African-American populations, I suspect that Edwards on the ticket, which is, seems like a long shot, but somehow Edwards has been the kind of candidate who just seems to be on my short list this week.
I was in Grand Rapids when Edwards endorsed Obama at that big rally at the Van Andel Arena in downtown Grand Rapids. And it sure looked like a ticket. It sure looked like they clearly get along. Edwards was enjoying the moment, and they seemed very compatible.
One last thing about this. We're talking about the South. There was something that was fascinating to me. Tim Mahoney is a freshman member of Congress from South Florida. He won the seat that Mark Foley was forced to give up because some picayune, like, you know, young boy sex scandal in 2006. But so anyway, Tim Mahoney sent out a flyer this week. Basically, it was something to honor America's servicemen and women. And it was obviously to talk about Tim Mahoney's work on behalf of veterans at the same time celebrating Independence Day. So on this flyer, they had these photos, one of the two U.S. soldiers in uniform and one of this retired soldier sitting down, you know, with a bunch of medals all over his chest. As it turned out, a close-up of this person, this gentleman sitting there, they were Soviet Union medals, hammer and sickles all over his jacket.
Red stars.
Red stars, exactly. I mean, you think he'd work for NPR or something like that. But so as it turned out, Mahoney said, I don't know where we got this picture. It was an honest mistake. And obviously, they were red-faced. But in a year where I suspect that Democrats will still make pretty good gains in the House as well as the Senate, this could be one seat where the Democrats could find themselves on the short run in November 4th.
It's a great story. I love that story.
And that's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/elections.
I'm Ken Rudin.
And I'm Don Gagne.
Join us next week, with or without Ron Elving, for It's All Politics from NPR News.